As we get ready for the message, would you all please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, guide our thoughts and our words today. You are our potter, and we are your clay. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. There's a quote that's attributed to different people, so I don't know who actually to give credit to, but it's what I want to start with today. And the quote goes like this. The shortest distance between two people is a story. And I heard that several years ago, and I thought, well, you know what? There's a lot of truth in that. There's no better way to understand who someone is, or at least who someone understands themselves to be, than to hear them tell a story about themselves in their own words. You learn so much more from a story than you ever could reading something on a page or on a computer screen. So in the coming weeks, I'm going to share a little bit of my faith story, a little bit of my walk with Jesus Christ, and you're going to get that as I share sermons, all of them based on five scripture passages that have been very important to me in my story, in my time with Jesus Christ. But the point is not to get to know your new pastor. I hope that that's a nice side benefit. But the point is to dig into the scriptures and to ponder how God is sharing with us the story of God's love for us. The story of Jesus Christ that seeks to change our lives and seeks to change all of creation and remake creation for the better. Now, I was also told before I got here that this is a church where frequently, if I ask a question, someone will actually give me an out loud answer. I'm seeing a few nods there, so that's good. I haven't actually been in a church like that for more than 10 years, so I may have to adjust a little bit and kind of get used to it. But I want to try to make use of that because this isn't about me pouring out a bunch of words. This is about all of us trying to connect and wrestle with the scriptures and also wrestle and get to know God better. So I want to ask you this question. It's not an easy question. In fact, none of the questions I have today are probably super easy, but have any of you ever felt very far from God? Yeah? Anyone can identify with that? For me, that's a hard question. I know at times in my life when I felt far from God, I didn't want to be honest with myself. I didn't want to be honest with anyone else, and I certainly didn't want to be honest with God that it felt like I was feeling far from God. I didn't want to be honest about the fact that it seemed like there was great distance because of things that were going on in life. A few other questions. Has there ever been in a time in your life you didn't feel loved by very much? You didn't feel loved very much. Have you ever been hurt by someone? Have you ever felt that someone was actively working against you for some reason? Maybe even a group of people were working against you. To quote one of my favorite hymn writers, Charles Albert Tinley, have you ever felt like, and here's the quote, that you've done the best you can and your friends misunderstand? Any of you be able to identify with what he wrote? I think the writer of our passage for today, the Apostle Paul, would be able to say yes to all of the questions I just asked. He'd felt very far from God. He'd certainly been hurt physically and emotionally. He'd felt unloved. He'd seen relationships in his life break down. His story was a life story of great challenges. Some of them weren't even of his own making. Paul faced a lot of things in his life. He faced natural disasters. He faced shipwrecks. He faced illness. He faced violence. He faced betrayal. A lot of the most important friendships in his life, unfortunately, fell apart at different times. Yet, he wrote in this letter a story. He wanted to write to a group of people in the church in Rome who he'd never met, or I should say he hadn't met most of them. He was writing to a place he'd never been, and he was kind of introducing himself, and he also was trying to introduce to them what he believed about the life-changing story of what God is doing through Jesus Christ our Lord. He wanted to talk about how Jesus can change your life story and how Jesus is changing creation's story for the better. And Paul was writing to a group of people who, like him, had not had easy lives. It was not easy to be a Christian in the year 60, in this year 60 of the Common Era in the city of Rome. To become a Christian often had a cost for people. Sometimes Christians were disowned by their families when they became Christians. Sometimes they were abandoned by their spouses. To be a Christian might mean that a person would face harassment on the streets. It might mean that people would refuse to patronize a person's business, or they would refuse to hire them to be a day laborer. To follow Christ might mean you were the target of mobs. It might mean stones thrown at you. Metaphorical ones, yes, but also maybe some literal ones too. To be a Christian in some places might mean that someone would arrest you and say, deny Christ or face death. In a place like that, in a time like that, in a place where the early Christians were struggling, they needed to be reminded of something. That if God was for them, it didn't really matter who was against them. Like it said in the first verse, if God is for us, who can be against us? These folks needed a reminder that though there can be powers and principalities in this world, though there can be struggles, though the emperor himself might be against you, it doesn't matter because God is with you and God loves you. And nothing that you do or nothing that they do to you, no matter the political oppression, no matter the social pressures, none of that can take God's love away from you. Paul's readers needed a reminder that even if people act towards you with cruelty and violence, God will not stop loving you and God will not abandon you. And though our lives are very different from those Christians in the city of Rome almost 2,000 years ago, we all still need to hear that message. No matter what, no matter what we've done, no matter what anyone else has done, nothing can take God's love from us. Now, something you're going to hear me mention a lot, I kind of made reference to it in the children's message, is I was a preacher's kid, which is why I sometimes probably make more jokes than I should at my son's expense. Now, growing up as a preacher's kid, once I got past the I'm not quite three and I don't really care stage, I sort of got to my mind, oh, if you're the preacher's kid, you're supposed to know stuff about church, right? How many of you ever had a time in your life you thought you were supposed to know something, so you were too scared to ask a question and make sure you really understood it? Oh, I'm seeing some nods. Good. I always appreciate it when I say something that someone can identify with. As a kid, since my dad was a preacher, I figured I was supposed to know what grace meant. I mean, after all, though none of the churches that dad served, I knew a lot of other churches were actually named Grace. But I didn't know what grace meant. And I didn't really want to ask. I didn't ask until I was a teenager. And understanding what grace meant took a whole lot longer. One of the key moments in me starting to begin to get what grace meant happened when I was 19. I was a student at the University of Illinois, and I was part of the Wesley Foundation. It was a summer night, and on Wednesdays, whether it was summer or school year, there would be a worship service at the Wesley Foundation. The students would get together, and that night we had someone speaking and sharing the message. The students would always lead the conversation amongst themselves, and the person who was leading the conversation that night was named Brittany Isaac. Well, her name wasn't Isaac then. I figured at least one of you would know who she is. She's a pastor in Chicago now. Her message that night was talking about God's unconditional love, about God's grace, about how nothing that we do will ever take God's grace away from us. She talked about how God will not stop loving us no matter what, and about how God invites all people into forgiveness and a changed life through the love that God offers, and a changed life so that as our lives change, we can help God in Jesus' name change the world. Now, I didn't know it then, but Methodists are all about grace. That was kind of our thing. That was kind of why the whole Methodist movement got started. John Wesley in England had a message that was very different from what some other Christians were saying. He said, God loves everyone, and God's grace and love is available to everyone no matter what. That's still not what some churches teach, but for Methodists, we're all about grace, that love that God has for everyone and that is shown to everyone through Jesus Christ. So as I listened to Brittany that night when I was 19, I didn't like what she was saying. You might say, well, how could you not like it? I felt pretty guilty in my life at that point. Any of you ever sinned and made a few mistakes in your life? Possibly in college. Boy, I really hit that one on the head, apparently. Or when you were a teenager or any other time in life. I felt pretty guilty because of some mistakes I'd made. I was having a hard time believing that despite what I'd done, God loved me. I also, at that time, didn't really love myself very much. I look back on it now and I see why I saw the world the way I did, but at that time in my life, I didn't love myself very much. There had been some unkind things that had happened to me in my life, most of them before I'd ever gotten to college, but when people don't treat you with kindness, when they act like you're not worth very much, it can be very easy to fall into the trap of thinking there must be something wrong with me. Maybe some of you can identify with that one too. I'm seeing a few modest nods out there. Because a lot of people hadn't been very nice to me, I wasn't very nice to myself. And I kind of thought to myself, God doesn't really love me. I don't really have much worth. I didn't realize that what God wanted for me and wants for all of us is for us to be the best version of who we truly are that we can be. That God wants healing and wholeness and love and blessing for us all, and that we are all called to then be a blessing to everyone else. God's grace was available for me, but I had a hard time believing it. Nothing can take God's love from us, even if we don't love ourselves. Well, years passed. Something about Brittany's sermon kept bugging me, though. You ever have one of those things that somebody said to you, and it may not have seemed important at the time, but then 10 years later, you still remember it? This wasn't 10 years, but her sermon kept coming back to my mind. I think it was God trying to use what my friend had said to try and get through to me, because, you know, we humans can be kind of stubborn creatures sometimes. A God whose love can't be taken away by powers or angels or anything else doesn't give up on trying to reach out to us in love. So years later, after frankly I'd made some bigger mistakes than I'd ever made in college, I realized that God was calling me into ministry. Now actually I'd kind of known that God was calling me into ministry from about the age of 12. But as a high schooler I'd seen the way my dad got treated by his last church before he retired, so I didn't much want to be part of that. Thank you very much. But there was a very low time in my life. I was sad, I'd made some mistakes, some people had died, there were a lot of struggles going on, and yet God kept saying to me, I have something I need you to do. You have worth in my eyes. I can do something with you. In that low point, I found a Bible study, and the guys in the Bible study basically told me, well, you're in your early 20s, of course nothing's going right. No offense to anyone who is in your early 20s. You might have had your stuff together better than I did. But they said, it doesn't matter if you've messed up. It doesn't matter if there are mistakes. It doesn't matter if it's hard to figure out what's going on. God loves you and God will have a purpose for you. Just keep trucking, Jeremiah. It'll be okay. God offers us a transformational love that cannot be taken away, not by anything we do or anyone else does. Something that can't be taken away by natural disasters or disease or anything. God loves us and wants the best for us. This passage truly became an important part of my life when I was a student pastor, which was a few years, again, down the road. I was serving a church in Boston as a student pastor, and at that church there was something the pastor told me. He said, we got to remind people every week God loves them. We need to remind people every week that we have something to celebrate, that we are loved by God, and that God wants our lives to change. And you know what? Some people needed to hear that because there were folks going through some stuff in that church. There were people dealing with AIDS. There were homeless people who came to the church regularly. There were people dealing with family tragedy. There were people dealing with the memories of traumatic events. One old woman in particular, her story stuck with me and will always stick with me probably to my dying day. She told me as a little girl about how she watched one of her neighbors get dragged out of his house and lynched for a crime he hadn't committed. She knew that there was hatred and brokenness in this world, and she told me, but God loves us anyway. Even if other people don't love us, God loves us. We are all beautiful and beloved children of God, and God's loving grace is available to everyone. So what is that grace? It's that fact that nothing can take the love away from us. In the end, at the very heart of the message of Jesus Christ, at the very heart of what it means to follow Jesus Christ, is to know that God loves every human being who's ever been and whoever will be. God loved us so much that when God looked down and saw that human beings were kind of in a mess, God tried to help us. For thousands of years, God tried to help us, and finally God said, fine, I know how I'm going to get through to them. God, in a way we don't fully understand, came down and lived among us. As a song by some friends of mine who perform under the band name My Anchor Holds put it, God came down from heaven and decided it was time to be getting dirty with us to try to help us. So much did God love us that God sent God's only Son into great life-threatening danger to try to help us. So much did God love us that in some way we can never fully understand, God took on flesh and through the form of Jesus of Nazareth lived as a human and taught us and healed us and endured a trumped-up trial and a judicial murder and then showed that love is more powerful than sin and death when he rose from the dead. So much does God love us that nothing can take that love away from us. Nothing we do, nothing we think, nothing anyone else does, nothing that happens. That is grace, a life-changing love that lasts forever. Everything else we do in our lives can be rooted in God's grace. That is the soil that God offers to us to plant our lives in. And if we can fully plant our lives in that grace, our lives will bloom and they will bear fruit and they will be a blessing to everyone around us, to God, and even to ourselves. All that Jesus invites us to do comes from that simple fact that grace and love is available for all. That is what God says to us. That is our good news for today and every day. May we all accept that grace and let it change our lives or continue to change our lives. Amen.